I love that passage in Luke that Gene read. It's one of the passages that's paraphrased in the show I just did, Cotton Patch Gospel. And instead of vipers, he calls them sons of snakes. And those of you who saw it will remember that the gentleman got up on the chair, and that's the speech he makes when he's up on the chair. John reminds us that we can find the right path. We can change directions and share in the joy of expectation because the Messiah is close at hand. We can let go of the past. We can become new creations. See, by letting go of the past and becoming a new creation, we are presented with the joy of transformation, of being made over and being made new. I remember once in my chaplaincy, I was very frustrated with one of the chaplains who was always late to relieve us when during call. You know, we would be on call, and then he was supposed to come in at a specific time, and he was always late. And one of the people said, "Well, that's just the way he is," and that's an easy excuse for all of us to say, "That's just the way I am," but it doesn't accept the fact that in Christ we can be a new creation. Isaiah promised us that with joy we will draw water from the wells of our salvation. The prophet explained that joy was experienced at God's presence and at the Holy One's moving in the midst of the people. You see, God had done glorious things after a time of great trial for God's people. Healing and liberation was what God was bringing to them. And when that happens, joy is the only possible response. So when we look at Isaiah and this passage about joy this morning, we might ask ourselves how, in our personal, congregational, and community lives, can we draw from this overflowing well of salvation? What waters answer the thirsts we experience? What does it look like to experience God moving in our midst? At this time of Advent, it is important to think about joy in our lives, how it occurs for us, and how it affects us. Joy is an inward and continual state of contentment, regardless of outward circumstances. Joy is different from happiness. Joy is not happiness. I don't expect anyone to always be happy. That's just not how the world is put together. Being happy has to do with circumstances. We're happy when life goes well, or the way we want it to. We're happy when we get that gift that we've been wanting, or that promotion that we've been needing, or that job we wanted, or when we get an unexpected call from an old friend. We're happy. Likewise, when those things don't happen, well, then we tend to be unhappy. But friends, happiness like that is short-lived and leaves us relying on which way the wind is blowing in our lives. And the wind changes direction all of the time. You see, God brings healing and liberation to the people of Israel who had become a sinful nation, forsaking the Lord, becoming estranged from the Holy One of Israel. They were full of iniquity, the offspring of evildoers and people who had corrupt dealings. Boy, people don't talk like that anymore, do they? This came at a time when the Israelites to whom Isaiah was speaking were actually feeling judged by God because they'd failed to trust God. Their king had entered into deals with a neighboring country to save them instead of relying on God. The king's hope had been a false hope, and it had gotten Israel into trouble. The neighboring country, this so-called hope for their safety and for the safety of the people, well, in the end, that country becomes the conqueror of Israel. And all of their worst fears are reality. And in spite of all that, in spite of all that unfaithfulness, God brings salvation and redemption and reconciliation to the people. And the first step is taken by God, because God always takes the first step. God moves to heal and to mend this broken relationship, even though God has nothing to do with its brokenness. And Isaiah calls out in joy in response to the mighty works of God. This song declares an incredible joy because it is God alone who brings salvation. As long as we remember that, we have joy. When we place our faith and hope in other things, then that joy is gone. And Isaiah compares salvation to a well which offers what people need to live. And these are desert people, so they would have understood this image better than most. This watery image portrays a picture of God's redemption as a gift of cold water to a thirsty people. And that is because salvation is as necessary for human well-being as water itself. The image of the wells of salvation suggests that this is not just a thin trickle of salvation, but a deep abundance of it. When you turn it on, it powers against your face more than you could possibly drink in. And when Christians hear this phrase, we most often think of the living water of Jesus Christ, whose birth we anticipate and hope for with great joy. Of course, the front pages of the newspaper and the stories in our television newscast suggest that in many ways our own world is quite similar to Isaiah's time. The details may differ, but there's news about ISIS or the economic situation, the stock market. There are so many problems, it's impossible to begin to list them all. The details all differ, but it's this kind of news that reminds us daily that there are events happening in the world that reach far beyond our ability to control. And we seek ways to try and feel safe within that world. But whether the threat is widespread, such as an economic collapse, or whether it is personal, such as an illness, the loss of a job, or the death of a loved one, to each of us, those threats are no small things. Those kinds of situations can cause despair and estrangement in us. We can become isolated and lost, not only from one another, but from God. But we, as the people of God, are called at all times to rejoice and to trust and not to be afraid. There is a sense that this song of joy is beckoning to us to live into its reality right now in this present moment, no matter what our circumstances. It is not just some unrealized joy for the future. It is not pie in the sky in the sweet by and by. No, friends, it is an experience of joy here and now that we can all know. So here and now, in this church and this community and this world, we can experience joy, even as we worry and struggle with all that happens to us and around us. But how do we do that? How do we live beyond the happiness or unhappiness of our circumstances and experience joy? Well, the first thing is to remember and to appreciate that our salvation comes from God and is without strings and is permanent and lasting and filled with the love of God for us. It is through God's forgiveness. It is through letting go of our past mistakes and embracing the possibilities that God offers. And when we get to that point, then we need to seek and enjoy God's presence. And God's presence is real when we offer a cheerful greeting to a stranger, or when you pick up the phone to check on a friend, or when we send a box of cookies to a college student, or when we greet one another with a warm smile, God is present. You see, we live beyond the happiness and unhappiness of our own circumstances and experience more of God's joy when we reach out and help others. Did you remember that from John the Baptist? What should we do? Well, everything was designed to make others better, their lives better. Don't take more taxes. Don't treat people poorly. It was about helping others. We participate in God's work of reconciliation and salvation, and doing that is a source of joy. Because it can be pretty hard for people to think about their own salvation if they are cold or hungry or can't afford their medicine or some other need in their life. And I am thankful and joyful that this congregation takes those concerns to heart. There are numerous ways in which all of you participate in order to assist others. Mittens and scarves are given. Presents are bought for children we don't even know. Meals are prepared and delivered weekly. And health and fellowship are celebrated in an exercise class. And I just, as always, am overwhelmed by your graciousness and your hospitality and your, and I just want to thank you all so much for all that you do. Now, the children, some of whom may be transient, are appreciative every time they put on one of those gloves or mittens or caps, even though we may never hear from them. Those who we feed may never say thank you, but they know God's love through your actions. You see, what we do here makes a difference in the kingdom of God, even if, like Moses, we never get to see it. So when I was choosing the scripture for this third Sunday of Advent, this Sunday of joy, well, I was immediately struck by this passage in Isaiah because of that phrase, sing for joy. When I think about what it looks like to experience God moving in our midst, I see evidence of it all around me. I see it when you pass the peace every Sunday with smiles on your faces. I see it when the deacons have a dinner and you come and support them and raise a great deal of money that will do a great deal of good for someone we may not even know. When a need is seen and you respond, God is here. God is moving. Now, there will always be ups and downs in the life of anyone, or any church for that matter. But because of Christmas, because of God with us and our salvation, we can always be joyful. And I think that's the central message of the manger in Bethlehem. God is always with us. And let me tell you, I see evidence of that. I see evidence of that God in our midst every day that I am here, and it makes me want to sing for joy. Amen.